Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 1st of December. I can't figure it out either, so your guess is as good as mine. It is December. It is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. Hard to believe it's December. It's been a quick 6 years this year.
That's kind of what I was thinking, is I don't know how we've managed to get through the last 5 years so quickly. So today we've had some interesting news. It came out sort of later last night from Amazon, their developer conference, I think is what this is, right, Dave?
For
AWS
sense, yeah.
and cloud computing. And so right. When you hear people throw around letters like AWS and EC2 and things like that, these are all things that Amazon is offering as cloud offerings. And they've added a big new one to this, right, Dave?
They have, yeah. They now allow Mac Minis to be your machine of choice when you spin up an EC2 instance, which is pretty amazing, considering that, you know, they've thus far, it's just been, you know, Amazon's own stuff. I mean, essentially Intel hardware running Linux and things like that. And I think you could run Windows over there, too. I suppose you could spin up an instance.
I'm almost sure you can.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah. I don't know why anybody would. Well, we'll get to that. I don't know why anybody would need to spin up a Mac instance, but we will answer that question. Right. But, you know, hosting is Amazon's real profit center there, right? I mean, they built up their store so that they could have this server library that they could then resell to other people to use. And so it's interesting to see them adding this to things primarily targeted at Mac developers, but presumably you could use it for anything you wanted. Again, I don't know why you'd want to, but there you go.
Well, imagine being a developer who is not a Mac developer or an iOS developer, but who wants to be.
Right. True. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can see that.
They want to be, or at the very least, they want to be able to test their stuff on Mac hardware or emulated iOS hardware. And now they can. That probably is pretty huge for them, for folks like that. I don't know how large that market is, but surely it's not small. Yeah.
Some kind of Apple hardware to do that. I don't think this is for people who don't have Macs, because I'm not sure you could do any of the development that you're talking about without hands-on with a Mac. However, as a build, I see this, and I could be wrong, but I see this as build servers, right? Where you want to offload the compilation of the code you've written locally to another machine somewhere else. A lot of larger development houses will simply have dedicated machines to this function, right? In-house. And if you don't have the money to do that, then you could have one of these, and then you just pay by the hour, and it does your compilation, and then you shut it off and you're good to go. So
One of the things about that is that seems to be, for a lot of people, that seems to be one of the longest pieces of stuff you have to do in order to get your app, is the build, the compilation of the code. You know, you hit compile and you wait, and then you wait some more, and then you go get a sandwich and you come back and you see if it's done. Maybe it is, but it's probably not. So,
and in the meantime, et cetera. You can't do, I mean, you can do a little work on your computer, but anything you do is sharing resources, right? So the idea is dedicate a machine to it and off you go. And this is great, especially for the developer that, I mean, I know right now people don't tend to work from coffee shops, at least I don't think so, but you know, we will again. And the developer in a coffee shop says, okay, cool, I did some development, now fire it off to this build server up in the cloud there and let it do its thing while I go and, like, you know, check my email and browse Twitter or something like that. You know, it opens up a lot of doors of flexibility, which I think is cool. I don't imagine there are going to be people choosing to run web servers on these things. I know people do at places like, you know, Mac Mini Colo and Mac Stadium, things like that. But it's not the norm. As I understand it, and as someone who has specced out machines as web servers over the years and co-located and had dedicated cloud servers and different instances and all of that stuff, I've never understood why you would choose to do that on a device that also requires lots of RAM to be dedicated to the graphical operating system that the machine must run, which is why Linux is such a popular choice for web servers over Mac OS and even Windows, because you're not dedicating all these resources to the OS. You're dedicating some, but it's a minimal amount on Linux, because you can choose to run Linux as just a command line. You can also choose to run Linux with a graphical interface. But if it's a server sitting way over there, you don't need the graphical interface, because chances are no one's ever going to plug a monitor in, let alone you. But if you need to run a Mac app on your web server, as was the case with like FileMaker and things like that, you know, over the years, and there's other instances where you'd have to do that, then this kind of thing makes sense. Maybe makes sense at Amazon. Certainly makes sense to run on a Mac at like a Mac Mini Colo or Mac Stadium, and that's why those places exist. So, I think
all of which is salient, and as always, Dave, I think everyone appreciates your perspective. The thing that keeps rattling around in my head is just how much things have changed in the last 20 years. Like for Amazon, I mean, for a service like this to be offered by a major tech corporation, and it still kind of makes me cringe to think of Amazon as a major tech corporation, but it turns out that they are.
Big time. Apple even uses them for some of their delivery networks. So
yeah, huge time even. And it is just fascinating to me this development is fascinating to me. I'm having trouble articulating why. It's just that like no one paid attention to the Mac, and it wasn't that long ago. And now here is a major company offering a service like this. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because when we started covering all this stuff, like the Mac was the underdog. And so, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, of course, Amazon is a younger company than Apple. But that perhaps even speaks more to this point, to your point, that, it's a big deal. But it also, it's not that Amazon is choosing to do this out of the goodness of their hearts. They're doing this because they see a market for it, right? Like,
and that's the interesting part.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. This isn't let's throw the Mac users a bone so that they stop yelling about us. This is let's get some of those customers that we're losing to other places. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fascinating. Yeah. I agree. I'm curious. It's really interesting that, you know, Amazon is doing this on Apple hardware, right? Mac OS theoretically can be, especially Mac OS for Intel, as we talk about Mac OS for, Apple Silicon might be a little bit different, but Mac OS for Intel can be run on other hardware, not in a licensed way, but it is functional that way. It's fascinating to me that the way this has come together, Amazon is actually buying Apple hardware, Intel based Mac minis, and putting them in their data centers. It would seem that there would be perhaps a more efficient way of attaining the same functionality for Amazon's future customers. But clearly Apple is not interested in heading down that path. I'm sure that conversation happened, right? Like, hey, can we, officially have an officially sanctioned Hackintosh type thing that we put up in our data centers that's way more powerful than this little box that we have to buy from you? And Apple said, no, cool, great, we'll buy those little boxes then, right? Like,
but also some of that has changed over time because, where did I read it? Because I'm not going to remember now. I think it was at Mac Stadium. Somebody had talked about what the license agreement things are that have changed over time. because just recently, some of the stuff in the licensing has changed so that some of the stuff that Mac Stadium wanted to be able to do, they would be able to do.
Well, I think that's in terms of virtualization, right?
Right.
You can virtualize Mac OS as long as it's also happening on Apple hardware, right? So that's where the rub is you can't officially, you can't run a virtualized macOS container on, say, you know, Dell hardware or right. something akin to that.
Right.
Officially, but you can run it if it's on Mac hardware. And there are benefits to virtualization, especially in the server realm. Very quickly, think about this, right? You spend hours, days, perhaps even weeks configuring your server exactly the way you want it, and then the hardware dies. Well, now in a normal world, you have to spend those hours, days, weeks again on new hardware,
right?
Or you have to get exactly the same hardware and clone over to it. But let's say years have gone by and the same hardware isn't available. This is where virtualization pays off. You run a virtual container that you spend hours, days, weeks setting up, and then you just move that to different hardware running the same virtualizer engine, like, say, VMware or Parallels or the other equivalents that exist on other operating systems. And now you just move your container around. Doesn't matter what the hardware is. It's going to run virtualized on that hardware at the top speed of that hardware with maybe a little overhead. But the trade-off is you can move around real quick. And that's huge in the server world. So yes, for to be able to do that with macOS is also a huge thing.
Well, and one of the interesting thing to me about this in macOS is I did find the blog post I was talking about. It is over at Mac Stadium. I will make sure that I get a link to that in the show notes. But it was, Brian says, a lease period must be for a minimum period of 24 consecutive hours. So that's why I'm curious about how this is going to work, unless what Amazon is doing with By the Hour, because this is part of the Big Sur license agreement, I think. I don't think this is something that goes to Catalina. Okay. This is for Big Sur, that it has to be 24 hours in a row. And he even says customers ask us for hourly rates because that's how Amazon does it. So if you're doing this, if you're doing this in a day, you sort of want to stack up all that stuff for the same day, because once you're in, it sounds like you're in for 24 hours. And we don't know if what they're giving us in the cloud is Big Sur or not. I haven't seen anything definitive about, like, you get to choose which operating system it is or anything like that. So that's why that was the other thing I was wondering about, because if you already are into it for a day, then that can make the cost a little different proposition.
That's interesting. So, yeah. If Amazon can't sell this by the hour, then that doesn't make sense for smaller developers necessarily.
So, yeah. And it comes out to, let's see, it says, this person said they did the math on Twitter and said that it comes out to $790 a month if you leave it running all the time. And Mac Stadium will give you a Mac Mini for $139 a month with unlimited access to it. It's your machine. So that's part of what I was wondering about, with, because nowhere have they said it's this much at a time and how much time that is. So they're not saying, like, if you do this, you get the whole day, which is why it costs more than our other cloud computing solutions or anything like that. So if that's the case, then that makes this a different proposition depending who you are. There are probably still people this is a good idea for, farming out your build server stuff to something like this so that you can continue to do what you need to do is a really nice option if you have that. But it makes me wonder what stuff is going to do this. And I think part of what they have to be doing is responding to demand. There are people who want to be able to do cloud computing with macOS, which again comes back to Brian's point about how much stuff has changed. Because who would clamor for that except, like, the three of us? Like, I can think of a few other people, but it's still basically a single digit number.
But Apple's developer community is huge.
No, I mean at the time, like, you know, like you were talking about, like, when Mac Observer first started, things like that. Like, there are many, many points along the way, and some of them aren't even all that long ago, where a company, a cloud computing company with the scope and the scale of Amazon, going, you know, enough people have asked us for Macs, we should figure out a way to make this work, sounds made up to me. And it even sounds, it would have sounded made up to even maybe 5 years ago. Kelly probably would have still said the same thing. So I'm very interested in what caused them to pull the trigger on this, first of all, but also, you know, like you said, Brian, like how far things have come is also a very interesting thing to me. So.
Word up. Yeah, you can run Mojave or Catalina on these as okay. I'm digging in. And we'll get more information about what the actual minimums are, mm-hmm. because that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also interesting that Big Sur is not one of those, not because of the license agreement, but because what I would like to do is maybe not break one of my machines by putting macOS 11 on it. And maybe I do that out in the cloud and go run stuff and fire things at it and see how hard I can break stuff. But I'm not breaking my actual computer. So, spinning up a test machine with Big Sur sounds like the right thing to, like, that would be the most appealing thing to me. So that's why I'm curious about it.
The only reason you'd want to use Amazon, that's not what people would use Amazon's cloud for. You'd pay too much, right? You want to use Amazon's cloud if you need lots of bandwidth that you can't get like in your office, or for that sort of, you know, like that's the thing is like you want a machine that's running hard. You mm-hmm. don't just want like a little, like, you know, floofy little thing that's occasionally here or there. Yeah, that's better for a, you know, external drive and boot right. from it and see how it goes, right? Like,
yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this comes out. It looks like what they're targeting is developers. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, that's certainly how it was presented. So I'm interested in where that ends up and how that use case shapes up is what, and I'm, when what
the,
I'm interested in.
When the LED M1 Max is an option.
Yeah, that was not called out either.
There would be useful developer mm-hmm. use for that, for sure. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. My guess is that those will be coming, that this was in development.
Big Sur.
This deal was in development for, you know, for more than the last week.
Generally, I mean, this sounds like a pretty big deal. So it's probably like a 12 to 18 month thing that's been mm-hmm. hashed out back and forth. By the time you get, you know, someone has an idea, they talk to their friend at the other one, and then the two of them come up with enough of an idea to actually turn it into something reasonable. Now we have to go talk to legal. And, you know, 6 months later, we can finally get working on it. So, yeah, at a minimum, more than the last week. I agree with you, Dave. All right. That's going to do it for us. If you have questions about this, if you are really excited to start sending your computing to Mac Minis of Amazon's out in the cloud, I want to hear more from you. I am very interested in this use case. I want to see what you all have to think about it. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. We take all feedback there. You can also get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And if you have love notes for Commander Ichabod, Brian will accept those at the same address. That's going to do it for us today. Brian, thanks to you and Commander Ichabod for coming by.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. Good to be here, Kelly.
Glad you're here. And also with me, Dave Hamilton. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad Commander Ichabod got a word in edgewise. It was awesome.
I don't know how we could have finished the show coherently without his contribution. So thank you for that, Commander. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.